Good morning, everyone. Do any of you have any problems this morning? Anything that you're concerned about? Maybe something worrying you a little bit? Well, most of us can probably say a very definite yes to that problem, to that question. But God's Word says we are not to worry. Very plainly. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 25 through 34, we're given five reasons not to worry about anything in our lives. Back in verses 19 through 21 of that same chapter, Jesus is telling us not to place so much importance on material things or earthly treasures, things of this world. So there's no need to worry about those. And he says in verse 25, let's look at that, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. Now that's a great suggestion, right? No, that's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. A very plain, clear commandment. We're being told not to worry about our life. Why? Number one, worry is unreasonable. Verse 25 says, in effect, is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? God has given us life, and He's given us a body. Then how can it be reasonable for us to worry about something like food or clothing or other material or physical things? Since God is good enough and loves us enough to give us life, then certainly He loves us enough to give us the things we need to sustain that life. Now notice I said the things we need. There's a difference sometimes in the things we need and the things we want. You may not have the exact job that you'd like. You may not have the salary you would really desire. Other things that we want. But God promises to make sure that you have the things you need. He promises that. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been worried about your finances? Well, again, most of us could definitely say yes. What about your health, your job, school? Well, of course, we've all had, at least to some degree, worries about these things. But the next time that you get concerned about anything, including these things we just mentioned, then remind yourself, I'm not being reasonable to worry about this. You see, God has been taking care of His people for thousands of years. He can certainly take care of us, and we can trust Him. So we don't have to worry. And then beginning with verse 26, we see two illustrations of why worrying is unreasonable. In verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If you remember a few weeks ago, in a sermon, Ferris mentioned to us that the birds don't worry about their food. They know that God's going to provide them. They know where their next meal is going to come from. So all they do is fly around looking for it. And it works. And then in verse 28, he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. In other words, he said, look how pretty they are. And we look at nature and we see that things are taken care of. Now, a few weeks ago, as fall was arriving, I began to get a little concerned about the leaves on the trees because they didn't seem to be turning. They were still green, and with the time that they're usually turning is starting to fall. And I kind of wondered about that, and then all of a sudden there was a cold snap one night, and the leaves started falling. My pecan trees started, I call it casting their leaves. They all fall in about one day, no matter how big the tree is, usually. But when that cold snap hit, the leaves started falling, and sure enough, pretty soon they were all down. They started turning colors, and they were absolutely beautiful. It turned out to be a very, very pretty fall after all. You see, the trees weren't worried at all. The flowers don't worry. The flowers and the trees are indisputable evidence that God knows how to take care of His creation. And that includes us. And besides that, God did not design us to be able to tolerate the stress that worry brings upon us, physically and emotionally. You see, that's why when we worry, we get headaches and stomach aches and back aches. As a matter of fact, I read recently that there would be 7.5 billion headaches this one year in America. 7.5 billion headaches. You know what that requires? 15 tons of aspirin every day. The United States actually consumes 15 tons of aspirin. And you know why? Because we're worried and we're uptight. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down. Worry will weigh you down even more than work will. And from a surprising source, to me at least, comes a very wise saying about the effect that worry can have upon you. General Douglas MacArthur said, quote, "Worry, doubt, fear, and despair are the enemies which slowly bring us down to the ground and turn us to dust before we die." Worry is not only harmful, it's unreasonable. The second thing that Matthew 6 tells us that worrying is that it's unproductive. Unproductive. You see, worry doesn't do any good. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's like rocking in a rocking chair. You got a lot of activity, but you're not getting anywhere. You don't make any progress. Someone once said, worry doesn't change yesterday. It doesn't have any effect on tomorrow. All it can do is make you miserable today. So it's definitely unproductive. In verse 27, back to Matthew 6, verse 27, it says, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Not only will worrying not add anything to your life, it might end up shortening your life. If you happen to have a heart condition or a digestive condition, worrying can make your symptoms worse. Now, Henry Ford was a fellow who certainly knew something about productivity. As a matter of fact, he very well may have invented the word, having developed the assembly line and other productivity methods. Here's what he said about worrying. "I believe God is managing affairs, and He doesn't need any advice from me. With God in charge, I believe everything will work out for the best in the end. So what is there to worry about? A good question. I think it's interesting that he believed that God was in charge and that he was managing affairs. Well, brethren, we not only believe that God is in charge and believe that he is managing affairs, we know very well he is. We've proven it. We're certain of it. So, why worry? Worry is unreasonable and unproductive. And Henry Ford's quote leads us to the third question, why we don't need to worry about anything in our lives. And that is, worry is unnecessary. Worry is unnecessary. Let's look at verse 30 of Matthew 6. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O, you of little faith? Psalms 145:15 says, the eyes of all creation look to you, that is to God, and you give them their food at the proper time. So once again, not only is worry unreasonable and unproductive, it's also unnecessary. And number four, it's unchristian. Christian, of course, means Christ-like. Let's take a look at verse 31. Verse 31 of Matthew 6 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? And in verse 32, for after all these things the Gentiles, or pagans, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Another translation says, for the pagans run after all these things. Non-believers worry about status and popularity and all sorts of things, money. And they try, of course, to make it through life without God. Besides that, worry can affect us spiritually. You see, worrying totally prevents you from producing the fruit of God's Spirit. Because if you are in a worried state of mind, you can't possibly be feeling and showing and producing love and joy and peace and certainly not long-suffering or patience. Romans 14, verse 23 says, whatever is not from faith is sin. Well, it's pretty plain and obvious that worry is not from faith. As a matter of fact, it's a display of a lack of faith. But God says he will never forsake us. He will never place more on us than we can bear. And if we worry about how things are going to turn out, then we do not truly believe those promises. You see, our worrying shows that we don't have enough faith in God to totally accept and depend upon his promises or on his word. And since our worry is definitely not of faith, it is, therefore, sin. And we know that sin separates us from God. And sin, if it's not repented of, will prevent us or will literally cost us our eternal life. So worrying is a very serious stumbling block. It's something that we must avoid. And if we are experiencing it, it's something we must get rid of. Someone phrased that part of it very well when they said, worrying or worry is atheism in action. That's a point to ponder. It's acting as if there is no God. It's like saying, well, I've got this problem and I'm not sure God can take care of it, so I better do all I can to work it out myself. It's exactly what we're saying, whether we mean to be or not, if we are worrying in light of all the promises that God has made us, that He will take care of things eventually, maybe not necessarily in the way we expect or in the way we want, but He says, do not worry. Well, that brings us to a very important point. Since worry is unreasonable, unproductive, unnecessary, and unchristian, obviously we need to obliterate it totally from our lives. But how do you do that? Well, that brings up point number five, which is the fifth reason why we should not worry, which is also the solution to the problem of worrying. Number five is that trusting God to provide for our needs eliminates the need for worrying. If we trust in God to provide as He's promised, then we don't need to worry. We have no cause, no reason to worry. In Genesis 12, where God spoke to Abram and told him, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And boy, that's a rather abrupt commandment or command. Here is a wealthy man, obviously very comfortable, living in his homeland, got family around him, lots of stock, and cattle, and so on. And God says, I want you to leave all of this and go somewhere else, and I'll show you where later. Well, certainly Abram had cause to worry when he heard that. He could have worried him in all sorts of ways, but he didn't. As a matter of fact, he just simply trusted God. We're told in Genesis 15, verse 6, that Abram believed the Lord. Or in other words, he trusted Him. He just put total faith that He could take care of him. And it was credited to him as righteousness. And as a result, God blessed him and made him a father of many nations. Trusting God to provide for our needs eliminates the need for worry. Let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing. That could also be worded, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the best promise I think God could give us in relation to this subject, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. So with a promise like that, there can just be no doubt that trusting in God to keep His promises certainly eliminates any need for worrying. Two businessmen were having lunch one day, and one of them asked the other, how's your health? He said, oh man, I am fine. My ulcers are gone. I feel great. I don't have a care in the world. And the other fellow was kind of astounded, and he said, wow, how did that happen? And he said, well, you know, my doctor told me my ulcers were because of worrying. So I hired myself a professional worrier. Solve that problem. And when something worrisome comes up, I just turned it over to him. And his friend said, boy, that sounds like a great idea. I'd like to have somebody like that. What does he charge? He said, $100,000. He said, wow, how can you afford to pay him $100,000? And his friend replied, I don't know. I just leave that up to him. And a friend of mine recently said the reason she had such a good memory was because of that Sam Carnegie course that she took a few years back. You ever heard of that? It wasn't Sam Carnegie. It was Dale Carnegie. Surely you've heard his name. Well, he also wrote a book that could be very helpful. It gives lots of tips and lots of very practical, reasonable, logical ways to eliminate worry in your life. It's entitled, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. That book was written in 1944. It's still a pretty good seller after all these years. What's that, 61 years? And it's still being utilized by some smart people. How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. You can buy a copy online or pick one up at a thrift store. That's what I did some years ago. But you know, that will help, or that could help if you take it and apply it. But that proves that there are ways to get rid of worry in our life. But in addition to these practical things that are taught in courses and illustrated by funny little stories like this, we have special supernatural techniques that we can apply to eliminate the worry in our lives. Techniques that aren't available to the general public. And our instructions about taking advantage of those we find in 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7, and in the New Living Translation it says, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. That's a promise that we can claim. Even if we do, and even if we apply all of these things, and even if we realize the futility of worrying, we're still going to have problems and things to come up in our life that cause us concern. And our first reaction, even though we know that worry is unreasonable and unnecessary and unproductive and unchristian, first thing our minds will do, if we don't guard against it, is we'll start worrying about it. And if that happens, we need to remember what Barney said and nip it in the bud. Someone came up with a very wise common sense rule. It goes like this. Things we can make better, we should make better and not fret about them. Things we cannot help or change, we should accept as God's will for us, and make no complaint about them. You know, this little simple principle, if it were faithfully applied, could eliminate virtually all of the worrying in our lives. So it's really important to understand that because Jesus specifically and repeatedly commanded us, do not worry. That means we have a choice. God couldn't command us to do something that we couldn't do anything about. So we have a choice whether to worry or whether not to worry. It's up to us. You see, worry is not an external thing. It comes from inside, and we decide, we make the choice. Remember, you are God's select chosen child. And He has made you some fantastic promises about peace and protection. And we can claim those promises by trusting in Him trusting in those promises and trusting in Him to work out things in our lives. Don't mess things up by trying to work it out by yourself. Throughout the Bible, there are a number of scriptures, far too many to reference during this time period, but I'd like to just briefly mention a few, and I'd like to read those from the New International Version. If you don't have to turn, just if you want to, jot down the reference and check them out later. The first one is in Isaiah 40:31. It says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And in Psalm chapter 55 and verse 22, "Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." And in Isaiah 41:10, we're told, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed." Another way of saying, do not worry. "Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you." And in Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me." You cannot say this about yourself if you worry about things. Because if your heart trusts in Him and you trust Him to help you, then you're not worrying. You're trusting in Him. And vice versa, if you are worrying, you're not fully trusting in Him and expecting Him to help you. And in Proverbs 3:5, we're told, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." In other words, leaning on your own understanding is another way of worrying, because that's exactly what it will lead to. And in Psalm 34:4-7, it says, "I prayed to the Lord, and He answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to Him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear Him." And in 1 Peter 5:7-10, and this one's from the New Living Translation, but very close to the same, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares for you. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In His kindness, God called you to share in His eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, He will restore, support, and strengthen you, and He will place you on a firm foundation." So let's go back then, brethren, to wrap it up. Think about these things and once again read a promise that we can claim to totally eliminate worry in our life if we just will. Back to Philippians 4:6-7. "Be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ.